home.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is the show for Wednesday, August the 17th, 2016. And we are in the book of Leviticus, and we're starting at chapter 4. These are all pretty much blood sacrifice stuff, but there's a few things interspersed into some of these chapters that still is a law today, like food laws, cleanliness laws. They're not a constant flow. Most of this chapter is blood sacrifice for the remission of sin, which has been fulfilled by Yeshua Messiah. Chapter 5 that we will be going into right after this has 26 verses in the Hebrew. We follow the Hebrew format here, as the King James Version has changed the verse order. They've just changed a lot of stuff. So we follow the Hebrew format from which we are reading. And when there are some odd words, I'll be giving the Strong's numbers. A lot of the stuff is just straightforward. So we'll get into that in just a second. There we go. Let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 4 of Leviticus. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person commits a sin, that's 2398, that's to fall short of responsibility or duty, through ignorance, 7684, against any of the commandments of Yahweh, which ought not to be done, and does against any of them. Verse 3, if the priest that is anointed for 899 sins according to the sin of the people, that sin here is 819, then let him bring for his sin 2403, another word, which he committed, a young bull calf. That's 6499 for bull, and calf is literally son of the herd, 1121 and 1241, without blemish to Yahweh for a sin offering. That's 2403 again. 2403 can mean the sin itself, or the offering for the sin. It's a dual usage word. Verse 4. He shall bring the young bull to the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh, and shall lay his hand upon the head of the bull, and slaughter the bull before Yahweh. verse 5. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the blood of the young bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. Verse 6. And the priest shall dip 2881 his finger 676 in the blood and sprinkle the blood 7651 times 6471 before Yahweh, before the veil 6532 of the sanctuary. Verse 7. The priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns, 7161, of the altar of sweet incense before Yahweh, which is in the tent of meeting, and shall pour all the blood of the young bull at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. Verse 8. He shall take off from it all the fat of the young bull for the sin offering, the fat that covers the inner organs, and all the fat that is upon the inner organs. Verse 9. And the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the loins, and the lobes above the liver, with the kidneys he shall take away. This is repetitive in a lot of things. They do the same ritual for a lot of things. As it was taken off from the bull, 7794, of the slaughtering of well-being, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of burnt offering. See, it was done for the slaughtering of well-being as well as this remission of sin. They have a set ordinance for a lot of this. Verse 11. And the skin, 5785, of the young bull, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, 3767, and his inner organs, and his dung, 6569. The whole young bull shall be brought forth to outside of the camp to a clean 2889 place, where the ashes 1880 are emptied 8211, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are emptied shall he be burnt. This is an offering for sin. This is a clean area. Therefore, they did not take that carcass to the unclean area. Verse 13. If the whole congregation of Israel sins through ignorance, 7686, and a thing is hidden, 5956, from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of Yahweh, which should not be done, and are guilty. Verse 14. When the sin they committed becomes known, then the congregation shall offer a young bull calf for the sin and bring it before the tent of meeting. In other words, they did something they didn't know they did. They did it. So when they find out, they have to offer the sacrifice. Here we go. Let's see. Verse 15. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the young bull calf for Yahweh, and the young bull shall be slaughtered before Yahweh. Verse 16. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the young bull's blood to the tent of meeting. Verse 17. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before Yahweh, before the veil. verse 18. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before Yahweh, that is in the tent of meeting, and shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. See, they repeat this to make sure there's no question about what they're supposed to do. Verse 19, he shall take all the fat from him and burn it upon the altar. Verse 20, he shall do with the young bull as he did with the young bull for a sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make propitiation for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Okay. Verse 21, he shall bring forth the young bull to outside of the camp, and burn him as he burned the first young bull. It is a sin offering for the congregation. Verse 22, when a leader has sinned, leader is 5387, and done something through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yahweh Elohev, that's his divine being, which should not be done, and is guilty, verse 23, or if his sin, which he committed, comes to his knowledge, he shall bring a male kid, 8163, of the goats, a male without blemish. In other words, he didn't know that he sinned, and later on he gets some information to let him know that he's committed a trespass. And he says, uh-oh. They have to be honest with themselves and honest with Yahweh at all times. Verse 24, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the male kid and slaughter it in the place where they slaughter the burnt offering before Yahweh. Verse 25, the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. You pour it on the ground like water. That's what they do. Verse 26, he shall burn all the fat upon the altar as the fat of the slaughter of well-being, and the priest shall make propitiation for him concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. In other words, lifted up from upon him, literally. Verse 27, if any of the people of the land commit a sin through ignorance while doing something against any of the commandments of Yahweh, which ought not to be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a female kid, 8166, of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he committed. Different for the common people than for the leaders. You see the difference? One is a male kid because the leader is somebody, and the common people, just the regular folks that don't have any office, use a female. Verse 29, he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slaughter the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. Verse 30, The priest shall take of the blood of it with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood of it at the base of the altar. Again, that's they keep repeating that. Verse 31. And he shall take away all the fat of it, as the fat is taken away from off the slaughtering of well-being, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a pleasing odor unto Yahweh, and the priest shall make propitiation for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 32, if he brings a sheep, 3532, for a sin offering, he shall bring a female, 5347, without blemish. Verse 33, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slaughter it for a sin offering in the place where they slaughter the burnt offering. Verse 34, and the priest shall take up the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out all the blood of it at the base of the altar. This continues over and over and over and over. Verse 35, and he shall take away all the fat of it, as the fat of the lamb, 3775, is taken away from the slaughter of well-being, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto Yahweh, and the priest shall make propitiation for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. The word they use for forgiven means to lift up from upon, okay? The lifting up of sins. 5545 Nislak, okay? And it means to take it away, to lift up from upon him, because his sin was upon him. And all of chapter 4 is sacrifice for the remission of sin. But I wanted to make you aware of the process. And verses 27 through 31, you can reference Numbers 15, 27 and 28. Now we're going to go into chapter 5. This has a different chapter numbering than your King James Version. In the Hebrew it has 26 verses. And it is different in the King James. So be aware of that when we get up into the later part of the chapter. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. Let me get a hit of coffee here. Before it got too cold. I get into this stuff and forget my coffee. This is far more important. Verse 1, and if a person sins by hearing a call, 6963, that's literally a voice or a sound, for sworn testimony, 423, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, If he does not testify, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now, that law still stands. Because if you know the truth of the matter and you refuse to come forward and testify, you are thwarting justice. And that is sinful. That's about the same as lying because you've withheld information that could set a man free or convict a criminal. Either way, it can go either way. If you know what happened, you should tell what happened. You should be honest about it. Even if the guy involved is your buddy, if he's done wrong. And people are called to testify in the matter, and you don't. You're either condemning an innocent man or setting free a guilty one. Neither of which is okay by Yahweh. So that law still stands. Verse 2. If a person touches any unclean, 2931, that's ceremonially unclean, whether it is a carcass, 5038, of an unclean creature, or a carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it is hidden, 5956, from him, he shall also be unclean and guilty. In other words, if he doesn't know he touches something, he's ceremonially unclean and can't approach the temple. Well, we don't have the temple anymore. The temple is in us. So that part of it, they couldn't approach the temple in an unclean condition because Yahweh was with them at that time, dwelling in the temple, and it was holy ground. So, verse 3, if he touches the uncleanness, 2932, of Adam, 120, whatsoever uncleanness that a man, 376, can be defiled by, 2930, and it is hidden from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. Verse 4. Or if a person swears an oath, 7650, speaking rashly, 981, with his lips, 8193, to do evil, 7489, or to do good, 3190, whatever an Adam shall speak rashly of with an oath, 7621, and it is hidden from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these things. Verse 5, and it shall be, when he is guilty in one of these things, he shall confess, 3834, that he has sinned in that thing. Okay, verse 6. And he shall bring his guilt offering unto Yahweh for his sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a ewe lamb, 3776, or a female kid of the goats, for a guilt offering, and the priest shall make propitiation for him concerning his sin. If he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass that he has committed two turtle doves, 8449, or two young 11:21, pigeons 31:23. In other words, two children of pigeons. To Yahweh, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Different types of offerings. He shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off 4:4, 5:4, the head from the neck, 6:2:0:3, but shall not divide it apart, 9:1:4. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side, 7:0:2:3, of the altar. And the rest of the blood shall be wrung out, 46:80, at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. In other words, he'd squeeze the bird and squirt all the blood out. Ew, I know. But, verse 10, he shall offer the second, 81:45, for a burnt offering according to the manner, 49:41, and the priest shall make propitiation for him for his sin which he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 11, but if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sins shall bring for his offering the tenth part, 6:2:2:4, of an ephah, 374, that's a measurement, of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall not put oil upon it, nor shall he put frankincense upon it, because it is a sin offering. Now, if it was a goodwill offering, offering of well-being, yes, because it was going to be like incense to Yahweh. But this is going to be a sin offering. Verse 12, then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, a memorial portion of it, and burn it upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire to Yahweh. It is a sin offering. Verse 13. The priest shall make propitiation for him. In other words, cover over his sin. Concerning the sin which he has committed in one of these things. And it shall be forgiven him. Now I have added in italics for clarity the remainder. It is not in the Hebrew, but it makes better sense if this is here, but it's in italics so you know that it's not in the Hebrew. The remainder shall be the priest as a grain offering. Now that's the end of Yahweh speaking, and here he gets to speak to Moses again, verse 14. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 15, if a person commits a trespass and sins through ignorance in the holy things of Yahweh, then he shall bring to Yahweh for his trespass a ram, 352, without blemish, from the flocks with your estimation of value, 61.87, in shekels of silver. Okay? As in the shekel of the sanctuary, a specific weight, for a guilt offering. And he shall make amends, 7.999, for the sin that he has committed in the holy thing, and shall add 3254, the fifth part, 2594, to it. Okay. And give it to the priest, and the priest shall make propitiation for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If the person sins and commits any of these things which are not to be done by the commandments of Yahweh, even though he did not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity, he shall bring a ram without blemish from the flock with your estimation of value for a guilt offering to the priest, and the priest shall make propitiation for him concerning his ignorance by which he erred, 7683, without knowledge, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 19. It is a guilt offering. He has certainly trespassed. That's 816 and 816 together. That's doubled against Yahweh. Now, verse 19 is the end of the English version in the KJV, but the Hebrew version goes on through verse 26. So it is different. So if you're reading the KJV, you're going to be in the next chapter for the next couple of verses. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 21, if a person sins and commits a trespass against Yahweh by lying, 3584, to another person, that's 5997, about that which was given him to safeguard, 6487, or in something left as a security pledge. Now that's 8667 and 3027 combined. Or in a thing taken away by robbery, 1498, or has defrauded, 6231, another person. Verse 22, or has found something lost, that's 9 in your Strong's, and lies concerning it, and swears falsely, and any of these that an Adam does sinfully, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore, 7725, that which he took by robbery, 1497, or the fraudulent thing, 6233, which he has fraudulently gotten, or that which was given to him to safeguard, 6485, combined with 854, or the lost thing which he found. Verse 24, or about all that he has sworn to falsely, he shall restore all of it, and shall add a fifth part more to it, and give it to whom it appertains in the day of his trespass offering. In other words, he can't just go make a sacrifice. He's going to have to restore what he took. Going to have to pay it back. Otherwise, he'll bear his sin. Verse 25, he shall bring his guilt offering unto Yahweh, a ram without blemish from the flock, a more valuable animal than a lot of other stuff, more valuable than turtle doves and stuff, with your estimation of value for a guilt offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make propitiation for him before Yahweh, and it shall be forgiven him for any thing of all that he has done in trespassing therein. In other words, you just can't say, oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to pay back. It's going to cost you if you're going to lie about stuff, if you're going to defraud somebody or rob somebody, hit them over the head and rob them, but if you see something in their yard and you take it, that's robbery. That's theft. And you're not only going to have to pay it back, but you're going to have to add a fifth of the value. So there is a restitution plus a penalty. Wouldn't that stop a lot of the stuff that's going on today? I think it would. Now in verse 1 of chapter 5, you can reference Proverbs 29:24. 5 is another blood sacrifice chapter, and it's been fulfilled except for the moral guidelines that are in here about thwarting justice with refusing to testify, the unclean creeping things are not safe to touch because they carry disease. That's a health thing. That's common sense. We don't have to make sacrifice anymore because we've touched these things, because the physical earthly temple has been destroyed. But our temple has been made unclean by these things, so we have to wash and clean ourselves. So that's part of it. And words, if you give an oath and speak rashly, it'll still cause you a lot of trouble. Just wise things are in this chapter. So it's not all gone. It's still in our hearts and our minds, and it's instructional. Yeah, the blood sacrifice thing has been fulfilled, but there are words of wisdom in this book that we need to know. We need to know the history of what made us unclean back then, so we can even avoid it today, basically for health reasons. Yeah, I have to mute the mic when my sinuses attack me. I do the best I can, but it's unpleasant at times. So I have a little button that I push. Now we're going to get into chapter 6. This only has 23 verses in the Hebrew, because verse 5 was longer in the Hebrew and got into some of the part of chapter 6 in the KJV and others. So we're going to be at an odd verse number if you're going by the KJV. Just find the words. That's all I can tell you about 6 verses down. Verse 1. I'm sorry. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, command Aharon and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. Okay. It is the burnt offering because of the burning, 4169, upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning, 3344, in it. Verse 3. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches he shall put on his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Verse 4. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, in other words, street clothes, and carry forth the ashes to outside the camp to a clean place. Verse 5. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn, 1197, wood on it every morning. And lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn, 6999, the fat of the offering of well-being upon it. Now, 6999 concerns incense. So the fat would burn, it would make a pleasing odor that Yahweh liked, like incense. So that's why they use that word for burn. There are a number of words for burn. Verse 6, the fire shall continually, 8548, be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Remember I told you, these priests were 24/7 priests. They had to work in shifts. They had a number of these people. There were only a few of them at this point. They didn't have a great big priesthood. They had the sons of Aharon. He was still alive. And he had a few sons. And they had to take care of all of this. So, part of some of these offerings were theirs for food. They couldn't work. They couldn't do anything else. They had to keep all this stuff going. Take care of the lamps. Clean the place. Do all kinds of things. Because they were the only ones that were allowed to approach some of these areas. If somebody else came close, Yahweh would kill them. This was for the sons of Aharon only. So, that temple is gone. The Aharonic priesthood is gone. Yeshua Messiah converted it to the priesthood of Melchizedek. Because it had been infiltrated by the Edomites, and they were doing all kinds of terrible stuff and masquerading as priests like the Edomites masquerade as Israel today. It hasn't changed. They were doing that in Yeshua's time, and he says, you are not worthy to be priest. You are not of the priesthood. You're not our Aharonic. You're not even Israelites. Your father is the devil. So and later on the Romans came and tore down Jerusalem and everything is gone. Now the temple will be coming back when he returns. He will bring a physical permanent temple with him. That one will never be destroyed. And we will see what he wants done when he gets back. Okay, verse 7, this is the law of the grain offering. That's called the mincha for the afternoon. The sons of Aharon shall offer it before Yahweh, before the altar. Verse 8, and he shall take his handful of it, of the fine flour, of the grain offering, and of the oil of it, and all the frankincense which is upon the grain offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a pleasing odor, the memorial portion of it, unto Yahweh. Verse 9, and the remainder of it shall Aharon and his sons eat. With the matzah it shall be eaten in the holy place. In the courtyard of the tent of meeting they shall eat it, because it was holy to Yahweh. It couldn't be taken outside the tent of meeting. Ever. Verse 10, it shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it to them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as the guilt offering. Verse 11, all the males among the children of Aharon shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your posterity concerning the offerings made by fire of Yahweh. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. All right, the word forever is olam, and literally it means for a very long time. So they translated it as forever, because to them it would be forever. Verse 12, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 13, this is the offering of Aharon and of his sons, which they shall offer to Yahweh in the day when they are anointed. The tenth part, 6224, of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, perpetually, 8548, half, 4276, of it in the morning, and half of it in the evening. That's at dusk, before full dark. Verse 14, it shall be made in a pan with oil, and when it is baked, you shall bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a pleasing odor unto Yahweh. 15, and the priest that is anointed in his stead of his son shall offer it. In other words, when Aharon was gone, the next in line for the priesthood will offer it. It is a statute forever unto Yahweh, and it shall be wholly burnt, completely consumed by the fire, in other words. Verse 16, and every grain offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. Verse 17, spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to Aharon and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered shall the sin offering be slaughtered before Yahweh. It is most holy. Verse 19, the priest that offers it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place it shall be eaten, in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. So it did not leave that courtyard. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Verse 20. Whatsoever touches the flesh of it shall be holy. And if any of the blood of it is sprinkled upon any garment, you shall wash that which it was sprinkled upon in the holy place. Couldn't take that garment out of the holy place. Verse 21, but the clay, 2789, vessel in which it is cooked, 1310, shall be broken. And if it is cooked in a bronze pot, it shall both be scoured, 4838, and rinsed, 7857, in water. Verse 22, all the males among the priests shall eat of it. It is most holy. Now, the other Levites didn't eat it. This was priest class only. Verse 23, and no sin offering of which any of the blood is brought into the tent of meeting on behalf of 3722, that's one word, on behalf of, anything in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire, that's totally consumed. The grain offering, the minchah, is not an offering for remission of sin, but an offering to the glory of Yahweh, and was done daily. Blood sacrifices were for remission of sin, but not the grain offering. That is a glory offering that they did, that had nothing to do with remission of sin. That was something done to glorify Yahweh as a gift. Minchah is a gift, literally, in the Hebrew. It means to give something willingly. And it was done every day. The sin offerings were done when somebody came and said, look, I've sinned, I've done this and this and this. Okay, where's your sacrifice? Well, they have the bull or the goat or the sheep or the doves or whatever they were going to slaughter. And the priest would go through his routine, ritual offering routine with that. But these grain offerings were done daily, in the morning and in the evening. Half of it in the morning and half of it at dusk. Right at eventide, whatever you want to call it. There's a number of words in English for it. But it's as the sun is touching the horizon, going down over the horizon, just before full dark. That's the evening, when there's still a little sunlight left, but not much. And then when it goes full dark, another day begins. So that's how they did it. Okay, that takes care of chapters 4, 5, and 6. These are short chapters. Leviticus is going to go rather quickly, because a lot of it is just ritual and there's not a need for a great deal of comment. When we get into some of the laws, I'll comment on them, the ones that still stand, like I did today about witnessing and et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of this is ritual. And we need to understand how they thought then, and that's what this is teaching us. This is something that they did, and it was of extreme importance to the Israelite people in those days. This was a big deal, and this is a part of their daily life. This is pre-temple. Temple did not exist right then. So this is when they were doing this in the traveling tabernacle that went in the wilderness. When they finally, in Solomon's day, built a temple, they did a lot of this. They had that same tent inside the temple, the high holy place. That still existed in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant and such was. Because Yahweh manifested himself there. So that would continue until the priesthood became polluted and things just went downhill when they decided to have an earthly king. Everything started to fall apart. Like this country was established on good principles, and today, they have removed Yahweh from most of the people's lives, and what's happening? Everything is falling apart. We were warned by Shmuel, not to get a king. Well, you're rejecting Yahweh. well, we rejected him. And look what's happened. Our lives are much the poorer for it. Our health situation and our moral situation, our legal situation, our money situation. We are a hard-headed, stiff-necked people. What can I say? You know, it just, it's us. Here we are. We're Israel. And we're going to be hard-headed. So, that about wraps it up for today. Other than these few comments I've had to make, we're going to start in chapter 7 tomorrow on Thursday. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. May Yahweh bless and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.